Hey everyone, and welcome to our deep dive. This time, all about reclaiming our time and getting things done without burning out in the process. Today, we're looking at work smarter, not harder, productivity hacks for busy professionals. But like we always do, we're going to go a little deeper than just summarizing.
Yeah, we want to really look at the why and the how, you know, how to really make these tips work for you.
Exactly. I love that. And one of the things I really appreciated about this article is it's not just like a random collection of hacks. It really seems to be based on some solid research.
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of like a little mini course in like mindful productivity. You know, it's not just about racing to the finish line, but being intentional with how we work and how we spend our energy.
Oh, I love that. Mindful productivity. Okay, I'm stealing that.
Yeah.
And speaking of being intentional, the article kicks off with a concept a lot of people are probably familiar with, the Eisenhower Matrix. Have you used this one?
Oh, yeah. The Eisenhower Matrix is a classic for a reason. You know, you've got your four quadrants. Urgent and important. Important, but not urgent. Urgent, but not important. And not urgent and not important. The thing is, though, most people get tripped up by that urgent category.
Yeah, it's like everything feels urgent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a study by the University of California, and they found that almost 80% of tasks that people label as urgent actually could have waited.
Really?
Yeah, without any negative consequence.
Wow, 80%, that's a lot. I mean, it really does make you realize how much we kind of let these urgent but not actually that important things hijack our day.
Exactly. And that's why the Eisenhower Matrix is so valuable. You know, it forces you to stop. Ask yourself, is this really urgent or am I just reacting to noise?
It's like a mental decluttering exercise for your to-do list.
Yeah.
You're waiting out the distractions so you can get to that truly important stuff. And I loved this tip from the article to put the matrix into action. Just pick like your top three priorities every morning.
Oh, that is a great tip. It really helps to set an intention for the day. I used to start my day feeling completely overwhelmed by my to-do list. But once I started picking those three things to focus on, my mindset really shifted.
Okay, so we've got our priorities figured out, but how do we actually structure our day to make sure we're tackling those top three things? The article talks about this technique, time blocking.
Time blocking. It's all about pre-planning.
Yeah.
Assigning specific chunks of time to specific tasks.
Oh.
There's actually a really cool thing about this. Studies show that it can actually reduce your stress and improve your decision making.
Really? Oh.
Because you're not constantly, you know, going, what should I be doing next?
It's like having a roadmap for your day instead of just wandering around aimlessly.
Exactly. And you can tailor it to your work style. Like if you like flexibility, your time blocks can be kind of looser.
Yeah.
But if you're more of a, you know, a linear thinker, you can map out your day down to the minute.
Yeah, I think there are even some apps designed specifically for different time blocking styles.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So we'll have to look into those. But before we get too deep in the tech weeds here, let's talk about a technique that I see everywhere, the Pomodoro technique.
Oh, yeah.
The article highlighted this. It's all about working in those focused 25-minute bursts and taking short breaks in between. Now, I'll admit, the first time I heard this, I thought, okay, how much can a timer really change things?
I know. I was a little skeptical, too.
Yeah.
But actually, there is some really interesting science behind it.
Okay. Tell me more.
So our brains naturally kind of cycle through these periods of high focus and low focus.
Mm-hmm.
So the Pomodoro technique is basically working with that natural rhythm. Those short breaks, they're not just about resting. They're priming your brain for that next burst of focus.
Okay, so it's like we're giving our brains these little workouts, and the article was really emphasizing using a timer for this.
Yes, that external cue. It really does make a difference. It's kind of like having an accountability partner for your focus.
Okay, so speaking of accountability, let's talk about technology because it can be such a huge help or a huge hindrance.
Yes.
When it comes to productivity, this article has a whole section on leveraging digital tools.
Right, because we're swimming in apps these days.
Yeah, and they specifically recommend things like Trello, Slack, Google Calendar, which I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with. But it is easy to get so lost in the tools that we forget about the actual work.
Oh, yeah, totally. I actually went through a phase where I was obsessed with trying every single new productivity app. You know, I thought if I could just find the perfect tool, I'll be unstoppable.
Did you find it?
No. I just spent way more time fiddling with apps than getting things done.
Yeah, I've been there. It's like the tools are supposed to simplify things, not complicate them even more. Now, one that I did think was interesting, though, they talked about Zapier.
Oh, Zapier's great.
for automating these repetitive tasks.
It's like a personal assistant for all your digital stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can connect different apps and automate workflows, so you're not spending time on those little tedious tasks.
Okay, so we've talked about prioritizing, structuring our day, and leveraging but not getting lost in technology.
Right.
Now let's talk about our physical workspace. The article talks about the importance of decluttering, both physically and digitally. I mean, think about it. How much more focused do you feel when your desk is clear or your computer files are actually organized?
It's not just about aesthetics. Clutter actually has a real impact on how our brains work.
Mm-hmm.
There was a study at Princeton, and they found that clutter competes for our attention. It leads to decreased focus and increased stress.
So it's like our brains are trying to process all that visual noise, and it just drains our mental energy. No mm-hmm. wonder we feel frazzled when our workspace is a mess.
Exactly.
The article had a really simple tip. Spend a few minutes at the end of each day just tidying up.
Yes.
Just a little bit.
Both physically and digitally.
Yep.
Small effort, but I think a big impact.
Absolutely.
Okay. This next one is tough. The article talks about setting boundaries.
Yes.
And it's so easy to just get pulled into distractions or requests from others, especially in our, you know, always on world. Setting boundaries is about protecting your time and your energy. And it's not about being rude or unapproachable. You know, it's about being intentional.
Okay. So how do we actually do that? They talked about communicating your availability clearly.
Yeah. You know, you could have like set focus hours mm-hmm. where you're not available for meetings. Or use a do not disturb sign,
sure.
or even just a digital status indicator.
Yeah, to show that you're in that deep work mode.
Yeah.
And I think being comfortable saying no is a big part of it, too.
Absolutely.
Which is definitely easier said than done.
It takes practice, for
yeah.
sure. But, you know, remember, saying no to some things frees you up to say yes to what really matters.
Okay, so ready for a tip that seems kind of counterintuitive? The article talked about taking regular breaks. And I know we touched on this with the Pomodoro technique,
right.
but this goes beyond just those little bursts of rest.
You know, our brains aren't machines.
Yeah.
And we need time to recharge to really function at our best.
Yeah, you can't just go, go, go all the time.
Actually, research has shown that taking regular breaks increases your productivity and your creativity. It's like you're giving your brain a chance to catch its breath.
Yeah.
Come back with fresh perspectives.
So it's not just about sitting there staring at your computer hoping that inspiration will strike.
Right.
And they even suggest, you know, get up, stretch, take a walk, maybe even a quick workout. Anything to kind of get the blood flowing, get your mind refreshed.
Love it.
Okay. Here's one that I have started using, the 2-minute rule.
Oh, yeah.
And it's super simple. If a task takes less than 2 minutes, do it now.
I was a little skeptical about that one at first, but you know those little tiny tasks? If you don't do them, they can really pile up.
Yeah, and it feels like you have so much more to do than you really do.
Yes, and it can really weigh you down. So just knocking them out right away prevents them from piling up.
They even suggest keeping a notepad handy. Just jot down those quick tasks, and then boom, you've got them out of your head. You don't have to worry about them anymore.
Just get them done.
Okay, so we've covered so much already in this deep dive and uncovered some really amazing insights. But here's the thing about productivity. It's not a one-size-fits-all solution. What works for one person might not work for someone else.
Exactly.
And that's where I think this last point from the article comes in, reflection and adjustment.
This is where that mindful part of mindful productivity comes in. You know, being aware of what's working and what's not and being willing to adjust.
So it's like an ongoing experiment. We're always learning, and we use that to refine our approach.
Exactly. And the article suggests a weekly review to kind of reflect on accomplishments and challenges. What went well?
Mm.
What could be improved? And then use that to fine-tune your strategy for the following week.
So it's not about beating ourselves up for what we didn't get done. It's about looking at the data, figuring out what we can learn from it, and then using that to inform our approach moving forward.
Exactly.
I love that. All right, so that wraps up part one of our deep dive into working smarter, not harder. We've talked about prioritizing, time blocking, the power of those 2-minute tasks.
And in part two, we're going to go even deeper. We're going to talk about how to optimize those energy levels and how to really leverage the power of delegation. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to our deep dive on working smarter, not harder. You know, last time we talked about the Eisenhower matrix and how a lot of those urgent things aren't really that urgent.
Right.
It got me thinking about multitasking. Like I do it all the time, thinking I'm getting more done by juggling like a million things at once.
No, multitasking. The myth of modern productivity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been conditioned to think that being busy means we're being productive. But All the research points to the fact that multitasking actually makes us less efficient.
Really? So all those times I'm like answering emails during a conference call, I'm actually hurting my productivity.
Yeah, it's not just, you know, a feeling. There's actual science behind it. There was a study at Stanford, and they found that heavy multitaskers are worse at filtering out irrelevant information and switching between tasks effectively.
Oh, wow.
So their brains are basically overloaded, and they end up making more mistakes, and it takes them longer to do things.
That's wild. I guess it makes sense, though, if we're constantly switching our attention, we're never really giving our full focus to anything.
Exactly. It's like trying to drive a car while looking at your phone. You might think you're managing, but you're increasing your risk of a crash.
So how do we break free from this multitasking trap? I don't think the article specifically mentions single tasking, but a lot of the techniques we've been discussing, like time blocking or the Pomodoro technique, those seem to naturally lend themselves to that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When you block out time for a specific task, you're setting yourself up to single task. And then the Pomodoro technique with its focused intervals, that just further reinforces that idea of dedicating your attention to one thing at a time.
Okay, so it's not just about the technique itself. It's really the underlying principle.
Exactly.
Focus on one thing. And I imagine decluttering your workspace plays a role here too, right? Like if you're surrounded by visual distractions, it's harder to focus.
Oh, absolutely. Creating a calm and organized workspace is so important for focus. It's about minimizing distractions and creating an environment that supports single tasking.
Okay, so we've talked about single tasking, but what about energy levels? I mean, we can have all the best productivity techniques in the world, but if we're exhausted, it's not going to matter much.
That's such a good point. You know, we tend to focus so much on time management when we talk about productivity, but managing our energy is just as important. I mean, time is a finite resource, but energy is renewable.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so even if we're feeling short on time, we can boost our productivity by kind of like optimizing our energy levels.
Exactly. And when we talk about energy, we need to think about both physical and mental energy.
Okay, so physical energy, that's the basics, right? Sleep, food, exercise, all the things we know we should be doing but are so easy to let slide when we're busy and stressed.
Yeah, those things have a huge impact on our ability to focus and be productive. Mm-hmm. When we're sleep deprived, our brains just don't work as well. When we're not eating nutritious foods, our energy plummets. And when we're not moving enough, we get sluggish, our thinking gets foggy.
It's like trying to run a marathon without training. You're just going to hit a wall.
Yeah.
So what are some things people can do to boost their physical energy?
Well, we talked about movement breaks. Oh. Even just a few minutes of stretching or walking can help. I personally use a standing desk and try to move around every half hour or so.
I love that. And then beyond those little breaks, regular exercise is important too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Exercise is fantastic for both physical and mental energy. You know, it releases endorphins, improves blood flow to the brain, and helps reduce stress. I find that even just a short workout in the morning can set me up for a much more productive day.
Okay, so movement, check. But we also need to talk about sleep.
Oh, yeah, sleep.
It's essential for good health and also for productivity.
You know, when you're sleep deprived, it impacts your cognitive function, it reduces your creativity, and increases those errors. It's like trying to think clearly after having too much to drink. Your brain just isn't working at its best.
So how much sleep is enough? I feel like I never get enough.
Most adults need 7 to 8 hours of good quality sleep per night. But of course, it varies. But if you're consistently getting less than 7 hours, it's going to have an impact on your productivity.
All right, so we've got movement, sleep. What about food?
Oh, nutrition is key for energy levels. When we eat sugary snacks or processed foods, we get that quick burst of energy, but then we crash. It's like riding a roller coaster. Fun for a minute, but then you feel kind of sick.
Okay, so what should we be eating to fuel our productivity?
Whole, unprocessed foods. Things that give you sustained energy. Fruits, vegetables, lean protein, complex carbs. You know, those foods will give you a steady stream of energy all day long.
No sugar crashes.
No sugar crashes.
All right, so we've talked about physical energy, but what about mental energy? I mean, you can be physically rested, eating well, but if your mind is racing and stressed, it's hard to focus.
Yeah, you're not going to get much done. So how do we create that sense of calm and mental energy? I'm wondering if things like mindfulness or meditation could be helpful here.
Oh, absolutely. Mindfulness is a game changer when it comes to managing mental energy and reducing stress. Meditation, in particular, has been shown to improve focus, reduce anxiety, and just help you regulate your emotions.
I've always been a little intimidated by meditation. I picture myself having to sit in lotus position, chanting, you know, the whole thing.
It doesn't have to be that complicated. I mean, it can be as simple as sitting quietly for a few minutes, focusing on your breath. And there are so many apps and resources out there now that offer guided meditations. You don't have to do it alone.
Okay, so it's much more accessible than I thought. I'm definitely willing to give it a try. And I imagine setting boundaries, something we talked about earlier, that plays a role in managing mental energy too. Totally. When you're constantly bombarded with demands and distractions, it drains your mental resources. Boundaries are about saying no to things that aren't a priority and creating space for what matters most.
So optimizing mental energy is about being intentional with how we spend our time and attention.
Yes, absolutely. It's about being mindful and recognizing that mental well-being is just as important as physical well-being.
Okay, so we've talked about both physical and mental energy. But what about those times when we're feeling stuck or unmotivated? Like, our energy's fine, we're ready to work, but we just can't seem to get started.
Yes. We've all been there. Sometimes you just need a little nudge to get back on track. One strategy I like is to try shifting your perspective. Sometimes a small change in your environment or your approach to a task can really help.
What do you mean?
It could be as simple as working from a different spot, like a coffee shop or even just a different room in your house.
Mm.
Or if you're stuck on a particular task, try approaching it from a different angle. Maybe break it down into smaller chunks or explain it to someone as if you were teaching them.
You know, I've actually heard that talking through a problem out loud can be really helpful. Like even talking to a rubber ducky can work.
Oh, I love that. And don't underestimate the power of just taking a break, stepping away from something for a little while. Sometimes you come back with fresh insights and a lot more energy.
Right. Those movement breaks and mindfulness practices we talked about, those can help clear our heads and get us back in the game.
Exactly. Okay, now let's talk about delegation. A lot of us, especially high achievers, we try to do everything ourselves. But the truth is, we can't be good at everything and we can't do everything.
Yeah, I think delegation is often seen as a leadership skill, but it's really for anyone who wants to work smarter no matter what you do.
Absolutely. It's about working smarter, not harder, as a team. So how do we delegate effectively? You know, I've definitely had experiences where I tried to delegate and it ended up creating more work for me in the long run.
Yeah, me too.
It definitely takes practice. The first step is to identify what can be delegated. Usually these are tasks that are pretty routine or that don't require your specific expertise.
So things like scheduling meetings or responding to emails.
Exactly. Once you've figured out what to delegate, the next step is finding the right person for the job. You know, someone who has the skills and the capacity to handle it.
Right. And then giving them very clear instructions, making sure they know exactly what you need and when you need it by.
Absolutely. And providing any resources or support they need to be successful. It's about empowering others to use their talents, not just dumping work on them. You want to create a more collaborative and efficient environment for everyone.
Okay. So delegation, when done well, is a win-win. It frees you up to focus on your strengths. It gives other people opportunities to learn and grow. And ultimately, it just makes the whole team more productive and happier.
Exactly. All right, so we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive into working smarter. Single tasking, optimizing energy, delegation. So many great strategies to help us boost our productivity and reclaim our time.
And as we wrap up part two, I think the big takeaway is that working smarter is a journey, not a destination.
It's all about constantly learning and experimenting. And, you know, be kind to yourself, be patient, and celebrate your wins along the way.
Love that. And join us for part three, where we're going to talk about something you might not expect, the connection between personal growth and productivity. We'll explore how investing in ourselves can actually help us work smarter and live more fulfilling lives.
All right. Welcome back to our deep dive into working smarter, not harder. We've covered a lot of ground, you know, from prioritizing to optimizing our energy to delegation. But in this last part, we're shifting gears a bit. We're going to talk about something you might not expect in a productivity conversation, personal growth.
Yeah. You might be thinking, what does personal growth have to do with getting things done? But it's actually way more connected than you might think.
I'm intrigued. I'm all about self-improvement, but I've never really connected it with productivity.
Well, think about it. Productivity isn't just about checking things off a list. It's about living a fulfilling and meaningful life, both personally and professionally. That makes sense. Like when we're feeling stuck or uninspired in our personal lives, it's going to show up in our work too.
Exactly. And the opposite is true too. When we're investing in our personal growth, we're really investing in our ability to be our best selves in all areas of life, including our work.
So it's like this ripple effect. Personal growth creates momentum that carries over into everything we do.
Right. And when we're feeling fulfilled and aligned with our values, our work just naturally becomes more productive and enjoyable.
Okay, I'm starting to see the connection. But how do we actually, like, cultivate personal growth in a way that supports our productivity?
Well, it all starts with self-awareness. Taking the time to think about our strengths, weaknesses, values, goals, it gives us a sense of purpose.
Yeah, like a roadmap.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the article talked about regular reflection and adjustment. That's a form of self-awareness.
Yeah.
We're gathering information about ourselves and then using it to make better decisions.
Right. Okay, so self-awareness is like the foundation. Once we understand ourselves better, we can start to pinpoint those areas where we want to grow.
Exactly. And those areas could be anything, you know, improving time management skills, developing emotional intelligence, learning a new language, anything.
So many possibilities. So we talked about self-awareness. What are some areas of personal growth that can really have a positive impact on productivity?
Well, time management is a big one. We talked about some techniques already, but there's a deeper level to time management, which involves understanding our relationship with time, you know, our own personal rhythms.
Right. So it's not just about using tools and techniques. It's about figuring out when we work best.
Yes. Some people are morning people. Some people are night owls. Understanding our own chronotypes helps us schedule those demanding tasks for times when we're most alert.
Makes sense. And I imagine self-awareness also helps us identify those little habits that might be sabotaging our productivity.
Oh, totally. For example, if you have this belief that you're bad at time management, that belief can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. But if you're aware of it, you can start to challenge it.
Okay, so personal growth isn't just about learning new things. It's about addressing those inner obstacles that might be holding us back.
Exactly. Another area that can really boost productivity is communication. It's essential for pretty much everything we do at work.
Yeah, and I think it starts with communication with ourselves, being honest about our needs and limits.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Self-awareness and self-communication are the foundation for all communication. And when we can communicate effectively with others, it prevents misunderstandings, streamlines things, and just creates a more harmonious work environment.
And that definitely leads to more productivity. Okay, there's one more aspect I wanted to touch on that I think often gets overlooked. Emotional intelligence.
Yes. That's a big one.
It's about understanding and managing our emotions, right?
Yeah.
And the emotions of others.
Right. It might seem like a soft skill, but it's so valuable in the workplace, especially when it comes to things like collaboration, handling conflict, and leadership.
Yeah, because if you can regulate your own emotions and empathize with others, it just creates a much more positive and productive work environment.
Exactly. Emotionally intelligent people are better at building relationships, having difficult conversations, inspiring others. All of that.
Okay, so emotional intelligence is a superpower in the workplace.
It really is. And it all starts with self-awareness, you know, paying attention to your emotions and how they impact you, and then developing empathy, being able to understand others' perspectives.
That's so important. When we can see things from other people's points of view, it's easier to communicate, build trust, and resolve conflicts in a healthy way.
Right, so it all comes back to personal growth, becoming more self-aware, improving communication, developing our emotional intelligence, and ultimately, being the best version of ourselves.
And when we invest in all of that, it has a ripple effect on everything we do, including our work.
Exactly. It's like that saying, work smarter, not harder. It takes on a whole new meaning when we look at it through this lens of personal growth.
So true. So as we wrap up this deep dive into working smarter, not harder, I think the big takeaway is that productivity is not just about getting things done. It's about living a more fulfilling and meaningful life.
Yes, absolutely. It's a journey. And the most important thing is to find what works for you. Keep learning, keep experimenting, and most importantly, keep growing.
I love that. Thank you all so much for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you found some valuable insights and practical tips that you can apply to your own life. Remember, productivity is a journey, not a destination. And the most important thing is to keep learning, growing, and evolving.